And the amazing thing about it, when we started this about 3 or 4 weeks ago, whatever it's been, and looking at this particular side of it, I was looking at what we should do, and one of the things we did mention that Dr. Hagen talks about to remind you, he says, when you teach, always teach. When you teach, always teach as if they're hearing it for the first time. And I was just reminding y'all of this and quoting this, reminding y'all of that and quoting that. We weren't looking at as much as we should have looked at. Looked at more last week, but didn't look at everything we should have looked at. So I'm going to do better this week. I'm going to slow that thing down. And we're going to look at it as if for the first time we're looking at it, because there were some things I thought we should know that we didn't know, and that's on me as a teacher. Again, so I'm yet honing my skills to be a better teacher. All right, let's go to Matthew 22. And there's a series of verses there. I've been talking about the fact that or reminding you that in the resurrection, we'll have bodies like Jesus' body is when he was resurrected, as well as the other saints when they were resurrected. And I called it glorified bodies. And in the phraseology I use is all right, but we'll look at the scriptures and we'll say what the scriptures say about both sets of bodies. Because I went and looked at 1 Corinthians 15 with Terrell's advice. Last week when we finished finished the Wednesday night study, and the phraseology for both types of bodies is in that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. So we're gonna say what the scriptures say, like I used to teach you guys, rather than trying to find a word that means the same thing, although we should define it when we get there, but it's easier to say what the scriptures say than to find what the scriptures say, as David did when he was sharing on Sunday. You notice he broke down each word as need be throughout the system of scriptures we looked at. But okay, Matthew 22, and let's see. The fellows, they read last week. Let's get Turner started out tonight. He's usually kind of quiet until he got something to say. I raise his hand, but we're going to start you out tonight. The first one out to shoot there, Turner. All right, Matthew 22.
Starting at verse 1.
No, we're going down to this portion where this question about the resurrection and whose wife a certain person is going to be. Matter of fact, we're going to back up. Rather than jumping down to where Jesus answered the question, we're going to back up to the question. Verse 23. Let's start there. Matthew 22, excuse me, verse 23. We'll start there. And once again, there's Reagan. Glad to see your mom the other day. I said, that's why she ain't in the choir no more. She's sitting back there with mom. Of course, you've been having some other stuff going on. But we ain't forget you sang a little lady. I said, we know you can sing, see. All right, so we're looking at Matthew 22, Reagan, and we're going to start on verse 23. And once again, we're looking at this topic of the resurrection, the rapture taking place when? And we got to nail it down. It's going to be before this podium is the tribulation period, the beginning, the great tribulation, the middle, and then the end of the tribulation period. And from there on, this is the 1,000-year reign starting. Of course, we know Jesus gets his sheep and the goats set up first, and all the goats go to hell. We read about that last week. Boy, I said that too fast. We read where the goats go to hell last week. We're going to read it again this week, too, though. And the sheep went into the 1,000-year reign with him. And over here is where we are now, where Susan is. We live in, and then somewhere down the line, we're going to get to where the tribulation period is. But just before this tribulation period starts, we're out of here in the rapture. But we got to get the scriptures to nail that down even easier than what I did firstly. But first, we're going to look at the bodies of the folk that are resurrected. Well, we can. So we can let this be the 1,000-year reign ends and we go into eternity. Well, we can do that. See, you meddling. Well, see, I could have used the end of the bench, but see, this takes me back to the sermon to Mike y'all be teasing me about. Yeah. So I'll comply. I'll do that. This is where eternity starts. I don't want to get it too close to this. Somebody might have to walk past that. But eternity starts here where there is no death and no sinners. We read that. But in the 1,000-year reign, from the end of the tribulation period to where it starts to the end of to the end. Where the tribulation period ends, thousand year reign starts, thousand year reign ends. In this period, we got sinners and we got death. Because babies will live 100 years old and they'll die. So we're going to look at that again. But as you point out, from where eternity starts, where the tribulation stops, in that thousand year reign, babies are being born. That's the biggie. Babies are being born to people, and sinners are being born. Well, they're born as sinners. Because nobody gets born again until they believe on Jesus. That never changes. All right? So now, let's look at the bodies of those people that are resurrected. Yes, ma'am. Wait a minute. You ain't supposed to be talking without a mic now. You know that. Yes, you get two for that side and two for this side. I got one more up here. Yeah. Yeah, get into your dad.
I'm sure your dad would jump in.
Yeah, he got some questions and points. Help me out here. What were you saying now, Amanda?
I said that last part you were talking about the babies, that's proof of that is in Isaiah
65. Yeah, this 65. Is the thousand year reign. From here to here, thousand year reign, we got babies being born and sinners. They're born sinners, and some don't get born again. They stay sinners, and we'll look at that. But that's the analogy for is the time span. But right now we're nailing down the fact with Scripture, the rapture happened right here, just before the tribulation period starts. But we want to first look at the bodies of the folk that are resurrected or raptured, because they'll be like bodies. But let's look at the bodies of the resurrection people first, though. As Scripture says, so Tony, you got it. Matthew 22, begin on verse 23.
The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And the last of all the women died also.
I'll read it again, one more time. 27
read 27
verse.
Again?
Yeah, please.
And last of all, the woman died also.
There you go.
Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her.
See, that's the question we're dealing with, the fact that we understand marriage and having babies and all that good stuff. All right, keep reading.
Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God.
Okay. Sherelle and Gerald were just reading Matthew 22. He just read verse 29. All right, keep reading.
For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.
All right, we'll stop right there. Well, read that 33rd verse.
And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine.
All right. The main thing we're getting at, as you know, is that in verse 30, he says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are they given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Now, we know from Genesis 6, do we need to go there? Where the angels were having sex with the human women and the offspring with these giants? We ain't going there. So it don't mean they don't have the ability with this type body, the angels. Our bodies to be exactly like Jesus' body. And the angels, their bodies are similar, but they got wings and they got other stuff. Our bodies won't have, we'd be like we are now, no wings. And our body, according to scripture, is flesh and bone. Let's look at the scripture that makes that plain. Where Jesus was resurrected, appeared to the disciples, and he mentioned that a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see me have. We'll start with Matthew and see if that's one account that has him saying that. And I think Luke probably has more to say about it than Matthew, I'm thinking, because he met some on the Damascus Road. Not Damascus Road. He met some traveling, two of them. Let's go to Luke's account. Luke, I want to say Luke 24, thereabouts. That's what I want to say. Luke, it may not be the right chapter, but that's the last chapter, as it turns out. Yeah, it's in that chapter. So Luke 24. Let's get you to read a little bit more, Turner, since you've been so quiet for so long. It was good hearing your voice, man. I'm editing. Now, don't be like Dave and come back with me now, Kenny Wayne, because they're getting me. But anyhow, I think I better quit, because while I'm ahead, if I'm ahead or not. All right, let's go down to where he meets these two. Yeah, that's around 20... let's back up. Back up. 19 and 1, 18 and 16, 15, 14, 13. Let's start there.
Okay.
Luke 24, verse 13. We'll start there. Now, this is after Jesus is risen. And we're about to look at his body as to its makeup as a resurrected body. And notice, well, you notice, we'll talk about what you notice once we get into the description of his body. Okay, 13, verse 13, start there.
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him.
Okay. Now, notice the phraseology there. That word holden means... Let's see here now. Pick one, Walt. Seized or retained or figuratively hold. It has to do with the fact that their eyes were not allowed to see him and know him, that they should not know him, okay? But I stop you there because why would their eyes have to be holding so they wouldn't know him? Let me see a hand. Do it. You get the mic. Others may have to help him out, so be thinking that.
They've been living and ministering with him for years. And they should recognize him when they see him, unless something happened to keep them from recognizing
him. Yeah, anybody want to help him out there? Anybody got any thoughts on that? Got any more thoughts on that? Go to John 20. This will help you out. But your point's well taken. And you pretty much hit the nail on the head. But John 20 will help us. And your last few words, I think, qualify for what you were getting across to us. And that's wisdom. That's wisdom, Brother Dewey. I got to give you that. That's you put them last few words in there, man, and you put the icing on the cake. All right. John 20. Let's move down. Verse 10. Let's go do it to get you to read that. John 20, begin on verse 10. Well, wait. Back up. Look at verse 8. We'll do that first. Then we'll read on down through.
Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed.
Well, that was Peter. And he believed, as they said, that somebody had taken his body, what to believe. He didn't believe he was alive. Do we need to back up more to prove that? Let's back up a little more. I got to teach this if you're hearing it for the first time.
I guess you'd almost have to go to one.
Yeah, you have to start with verse one.
The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him.
All right, notice that. That's what she believed, that's what they all believe for the most part.
Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher.
All right, now who's that other disciple that he loved?
John.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
All right. Oh, by the way, on a side note, did you all see the internet link or see it on the news where this 103-year-old lady won the race for the 100 over competition? I think it was a 50-yard dash this time, and she won the 100-yard dash last week. But Terrell, she was getting it. And I was thinking, she might outrun me. I ain't tried to run since I've been getting stronger. I just been walking fast and shoot a little ball a little bit, but I ain't tried to run. But I said, man, maybe I ought to try to run now, because that little sister, they call her the Hurricane. You should have seen her. You seen the news. That's all the link. When I turn my computer on, the links that they put there for you to look at, you know how they put that stuff for you, Turner, where they want you to click on it. Well, when I saw that, I clicked on that. I want to read about that sister, you know. And they had a picture of her, and she was just getting it, you know. And then before I came, I was watching the sports, and they had it on the sports. But anyhow. That's right. Thank you. She's 103, and she just started running 2 years ago. 101 years old. And she wasn't by herself. If I'm not mistaken, all those people there were over 100 years old. It was a competition for 100-year-old plus people. All right. So John outran Peter. All right. What verse was that you read?
Verse 4.
All right. Moving on to verse 5 now.
And he stooped down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed.
Now, what did he believe?
He believed what the women said.
Which was what?
That they'd taken the body, and we don't know where they laid him.
Exactly. Everybody see that now? Okay. And verse 9?
For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead.
All right. That's very important.
There knew not, didn't understand.
Huh?
That word knew there is understand.
Yeah, they understood not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. All right.
He now told them they just didn't understand it yet.
Well, and before he died, he told them, but God hid it from them because he didn't want them to know. Okay. But see, the angel is telling them, as we know. He's risen. All right, keep reading.
Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus.
Ah! So as you said in the latter part of your statement, they were, if God hadn't seized or closed their eyes where they wouldn't know him, they had the opportunity to have known him. But to be sure they wouldn't know him, he closed their eyes to not know him. But here, she looked at him and didn't recognize him. Now, why would that be? Let me see your hand. Okay, man, why would that be in her case where she wouldn't recognize him? Why would it happen like that? Look right at him and not know it was him.
Because in her mind, he was dead. And
okay,
and she wasn't expecting to see him.
Right. And that's the long and short of it. But the thing is, you say it in her mind. See, the mind is what we're trying to improve. Mm-hmm. As we take God's word and slow down and break it down and make it plain. We're trying to improve the minds of all Christians in regard to spiritual knowledge and truth. And learning how the mind works. So if I believe in my mind that Jesus is still dead, even though he's standing right in front of me, my mind and that belief I have won't let me recognize him. I saw that on one of these game shows, and it was sad that they did that because one could have had a heart attack. I told you about it, they had porta potty, porta potty on the edge of a cliff out someplace. And this woman saw her son go in the porta potty, and she waited for him to come out. In the meantime, before he came out, the porta potty went boop and went over the edge, and she just freaked out. And she ran over looking, just panicking. And her son walks up behind her while she's panicking, taps on the shoulder. And she turns up, and then she grabs him up. Well, some folks have heart attacks behind that kind of stuff. It just so happens she didn't. I take that back. When she first turned around and saw him, she didn't recognize him. But then, the next split second or so, she did recognize him. But when he first touched her on the back and she turned around, she saw him but didn't know it was him. Because her mind believed he was down there. See, but as he stood there laughing at her, then reality set in and she saw there was her son there. And I think she started hitting him or something, but that's how the mind works. If I believe something's a certain way, even though you're telling me the truth, until my mind can be affected by what you're saying, I still don't see it. I don't see it. Terrell.
I was going to say that reminded me of, I remember telling you about this a while back, but most of you guys, I know Lil Dave, he may remember, but a guy I worked with, he worked in at Hall for security. He was Pastor McTire, Donald McTire.
Okay.
And we worked together for a number of years, really close, and he had a heart attack one Saturday out washing the car. Mm-hmm. And I took it pretty hard, you know. We were pretty close, and we shared, you know, talk about the gospel and things like that. But it kind of took me by surprise, and this was several years back, you know. But I had a vision of him.
Okay. Now, he did pass, you said, right?
Oh, yeah. I went to a funeral and everything.
Okay.
And I had a vision of him, and I was in my office at Hall.
Right.
And I was doing paperwork. And, you know, like I said, I'd been concerned about him just suddenly going like that.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm writing up some report. And the door opens, and he walks into my office.
Check.
And he caught me by surprise, and it startled me, and I fell back in my chair in the vision.
And
you know,
laughing probably.
Well, he came, he walked up to me close, and I was looking at him, and he reached out his hand and grabbed me and pulled me up, and then the vision ended.
Right, right.
Which was, you know, God was just comforting me about
exactly,
you know, what to think about that he's, you know, he's in a good, better place and everything like that. But
it
made me think about that. But to your point was, I wasn't expecting him. I knew that he was dead, you know, or that he had passed. You know, there's really no such thing as death, you know. It's whether you're connected to God or disconnected to God. Right. So I can see what you're saying as far as that's concerned, where she didn't believe it, you know, because I didn't believe that, you know, this is what I was seeing. It was so real, you know. So
now, when did you learn that God was God comforting you and allowed you to have a visitation from him in order to be comforted? When did you learn that truth? Before or after? Did you know that before you had the vision or after? Did you learn it after?
No, that was after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know how long was after when you had that, got that revelation?
Shortly after I talked to you about it.
Okay.
So you don't remember that, do you?
No.
Yeah, this was several.
I just said I got to say and go on.
McTire had to have been. That had to have been somewhere in between 2000 and 2003 or so.
Okay, that far back, huh?
That far back. Yeah. So, yeah. But it made sense because, like I said, it had been wearing on me, you know, because I was like, you know, I knew this guy and what he was about, and for this to you know, to happen, I wasn't handling it too well. But for him to reach out, it was very comforting, you know, because he was my friend, and I was like, and he grabbed his hand and just ended right then.
Yeah, I'm doing fine, Darrell. I'm doing fine. And I wouldn't come back if I could. Any other comments before we go further? All right, so this is why she didn't recognize him, because her mind is in grief about the fact he's dead and somebody took his body and hid it. And so she's really in grief because they can't anoint the body. And this was their tradition. And so, all right, keep reading, Dewey. Read verse 14 again. Or did you read verse 14?
And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away.
All right, that's again, now see, she was supposing him to be the gardener, and was fully convinced they had taken his body, she was completely blind to who he was standing right before her. The answer can be right there, and you guys can try to get me to see it and slow down and everything, but if I'm believing what I'm believing until you deal with what I'm believing, scale the wall. Until you scale the wall, I'm still believing what I'm believing. You got to deal with that. And he dealt with that. All right, keep reading.
Jesus saith unto her, Mary.
All right, stop right there. What did he say?
Mary.
He just said her name. And you know he said the way only he could say it when he called her name. Mm-hmm. Your friends, when they call you like Ken Wayne calls Thrill Big Country, I can just hear his voice, you know. Or the other nicknames we have for each other. The person that says that is, Alicia calls you Daddy, you know. Some people call you Big Daddy.
Country Time is what his name is.
Who's that?
Country Time, Kenny Wayne.
Oh, okay, I hear you. You see? But see, when that person that's your friend calls your name in the way they do, even if it's a nickname, it clicks with the mind because of the relationship you have. So he just says, Mary. And then let's see what happens.
Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master.
That just calling her name snapped her out of the blindness she had about looking at him and not recognizing him. Which means that God knows how to reach each person. He has the wisdom to reach each person if they can be reached. He knows what it is will cause the mind to click if it's going to click. And he'll give us the wisdom as to what to say or what to do in order to get their mind the help it needs if it can be helped. Now, some people, no matter what you do, if they've got a seared conscience, then you can't really reach, well, not even a seared conscience, but if it's close to being seared, I say it that way. If it's close to being seared in the sense of being hard, where no matter what you say, they're going to be what they believe, then you can say what God tells you to say and then trust him later on to deal with them, or it's going to come up again when they meet God and God says, I sent so-and-so to you. And he or she said this to you, and you didn't receive it. But they won't be able to say he didn't try to reach them, because he makes an effort to reach everybody. All right. Okay, so now we got to establish that she saw him. But notice she saw somebody she thought was a gardener, which means he wasn't dressed in his royal garb. Right? Dressed in whatever a gardener would wear. I don't know, I hadn't seen any pictures of the gardeners back in them days, but they didn't dress up. I know the ones we see around here, especially the Mexican people, they ain't dressed. They just got what they got on, and they just doing what they do with the blowers and the lawnmowers and the trimmers and stuff. And just doing what they do. And so he's just dressed normally, but he's even dressed down, if you will, please. She thought he was a gardener, which means he's dressed almost like in work clothes. It's just food for thought. Okay. Let's move on down now to where. But my point is that his body looked normal. And it looked like a gardener's body would look as a human who has a natural body and not a supernatural body, in a sense of a resurrected body. I'll say that because we haven't got to the scriptures yet. Now let's move on down to where he comes to the disciples in the same chapter, verse 19. Go back to you now, Turner. Pick up on verse 19 and John. No. Yeah, John 20. We'll stay with John 20. Well, yeah, we'll do that. Because Luke 24, I'm thinking it's going to say. No, let's go back to Luke 24. That was the point I wanted to get from John about why their eyes were holding lest they should know him. Because God wanted to be sure they didn't just eventually figure out it was him and know him. He didn't want him to know him just yet. So he held their eyes so they wouldn't know him. Okay, where do we leave off at in Luke 24?
I got one more question.
Yeah.
So you said God did that so they wouldn't know him. Is that because Jesus hadn't been to heaven yet?
No, he had been to heaven. See, go back to John 20. Go back to John 20. I'll get you to read it. John 20. John 20, a minute. John 20. Let's go back down to when Mary is talking to him and he's talking to her.
Did you say God did that?
In Luke 24, I'd say God or Jesus, but their eyes were closed so they wouldn't recognize him. But we'll look back at it in a moment and we'll see what it says. He said, Rabboni. Okay, look at verse 16 again, Amanda. John 20, verse 16.
Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God.
All right. So now we know that Jesus offered his blood in the heavenly temple to sanctify the articles there. And this is why here he says, don't touch me. But to my knowledge, this is the only person he revealed himself to prior to going back. On that road in Luke 24, he's going, he's back now. And we'll see that even with John 20. Going down to verse 19, and keep reading there, Amanda.
Mary 18. You want to skip 18?
You can read 18.
Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you.
And notice this was the same day, but now it's evening. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Uh-huh.
All right, keep reading.
And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord.
And he showed them his hands and side because the holes were still there.
Okay.
Now, why would he leave the holes there? Let me see your hand. I thought I saw some hands there. Why would he leave the holes there? Let me see some hands. Well, why do you think he left the holes there? Yeah, that's... Use your mic. You got a mic.
Yeah, I'm thinking Thomas was the one, right?
Well, we're going to look at that in a moment, though. Yeah.
So it was for the ones who needed to see holes, I guess, you know, prove to them, or confirm, rather, what had taken place, that it was him.
Yeah, and that's what he did here, as you say. They didn't believe it was him until he showed him his hands and his side. And there's another reason also, though. There's another reason. Huh? Got a mic there, Terrell?
Oh.
What you laughing, my little sister?
because his body hadn't changed yet, right?
Well, he's resurrected, though.
Oh, he's resurrected.
He's resurrected. Remember, this is resurrection. He died, been buried 3 days, 3 nights, rose up, okay. Went to heaven, and he's back now in the afternoon. We'll see in a moment why I say he's back from heaven. Yeah, man, what's up?
I want to stab at it.
Huh? Okay, what's up? What do you think the other reason was why he left the holes in his hands and his side?
I was thinking about like a badge of honor, like the soldiers.
Yeah.
When they come back from war, they showing their wounds and stuff.
Yeah.
Proof.
Yeah. So it's linked to what Terrell was talking about, but it's also a badge of honor, the fact that I did this for you guys, for the world. There's the hole. I guess right side, And holes in his hand, holes in his feet. Left him there. Now, he could have healed him and closed them all up. The average person would have said, close them fellas up. I want to look normal since I got this nice body. You know, this resurrected body. I'm the first one to be resurrected. And God resurrected with the holes in it. Because it was necessary for proof as well as a badge of honor throughout eternity. But we can even go when we get there to look at the holes in his hand. Because you know, Terrell, little kids, like, well, he ain't quite old enough yet. But if we did get between Arby's age and that age, he want to put his fingers in the holes. And ain't saying by walk up to you and just do that and put it all in there and play with it, you know. Why? Because he's curious. And nothing wrong with that. But yeah, and you got some grown-up want to do the same thing. You can, and as you say, you got some, hey, you, Terrell, you know you're laughing, but that's true. Did you ever get hurt on playing football? Did you ever? No, you probably wouldn't. But I know some guy would say, man, I got this when I was out there, hit so-and-so and lit him up. But I did a job, but I got a scar to prove it, you know. And they're proud of that scar. Because it was during this game, whether it was a Super Bowl, especially Super Bowl. You know, if you get hurt during the Super Bowl and got a scar and got a ring to back it up, or not necessarily back it up, but show it was worth it, that means something. Anyhow, but yeah, those are the two main reasons there. And maybe another one too, but those are two main reasons for proof as well as a badge of honor to show what he did in laying his life down for the world, and that he is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And he's got the holes in his side, holding his side, and holes in his hands and feet to prove it. All right, let's move on. My time's getting away from me. So now, verse 25. What's 24? Who's reading? John 20, verse 24.
But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.
Well, there we go, Terrell. See there? Thomas, I'm going to put my finger in the holes. See? Mm-hmm. Childlike simplicity. All right, keep rolling.
And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my God."
Okay, in verse 29.
Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed.
Okay.
Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed."
Okay, that's us. All right. Any more questions or comments before we go back to Luke 24? Let's go back to Luke 24 now. I want to see what he does when he shows up this time. There we see he put 8 days between that first meeting where he reveals himself to the disciples and when he came back to get Thomas in faith or convince him, as Terrell pointed out, to use those holes in his hands and side as proof. You would have thought just seeing him to recognize him would have been enough. And I think basically when he started talking to Thomas and said what he said, Thomas recognized him and didn't have to put his hands in his hand, the holes in his side and hands. Okay, Luke 24, let's go back. Certain women, he was talking to those. For the sake of time, let's go drop down to verse 23, Luke 24, verse 23. Did we read it already? No, we didn't read that. We backed up to where anyhow, let's start with verse 23. Well, 22, start there. Yes, back to Luke 24.
Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, "O fools of slow of heart,
uh-huh,
to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself."
Yeah, they had Bible study right there. And it was probably quite a while. Yeah.
And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further.
Well, he faked like he was going to do that, but he knew all the time what he was doing. Verse 29.
But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them.
Okay. Keep reading.
And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight.
Boy, don't you know he broke bread and blessed like he'd always been doing? Mm-hmm. So he called Mary's name and got her attention. Here he blesses the bread and breaks it like he always does, and that just did the trick. And then when they recognized him, he just vanished. Later on, boys. That's amazing. Any thoughts before we go further? All right. Let's see. Let's move on down. Let's see, that was, let's go down to, okay, start at verse 32, trying to keep reading. We're almost there.
And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
All right, notice that when he went in, he walked and talked, and he was teaching the scriptures, but then he got to the house and he went in with them and he sat and ate with them. They're seeing a resurrected body, a man with a resurrected body, Jesus, with a resurrected body, sit there and eat. And really, you'd have thought maybe that. Okay. Came to pass that they sat at meat. Okay. He took bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to them, and their eyes were open. Okay. I was about to say this. They might recognize how he's eating, but he always broke the bread first and then went on and ate, and their eyes were open. But the thing about it is that he looked normal. He looked like a regular person. They just didn't recognize him until he broke bread and blessed it. Then they recognized it was him. You see. Okay, so his body didn't look out of the ordinary. It looked the same as the day before he died, in the sense of how he looked. Let's see. Verse 33.
And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you.
Now this must be when he appeared in John, when Thomas was not there, because it said 8 days after he appeared to his disciples in John, then he showed up again and Thomas was there. So this must be the time when he first showed up. Okay. Beg your pardon? Scripture says what now?
The scripture mentions that it was the 11. 11 were there.
Say that last word.
11 were present.
11. Yeah. So oh, you're thinking Thomas that 11 is including Didymus? I mean, Thomas?
Thomas.
Let's keep reading. It could be. Let's keep reading. That's a side note. We'll keep reading.
All right, so verse 37. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have.
Okay, and this has got to be when he first met him. Now we'll look at that point that Dewey made about why he appeared before the 11 disciples. But we'll look at that on another note for a sidebar. But the point I want to get here is that he says, behold my hands, verse 39, it is I myself, helm me and see. In other words, touch me. See, manipulate me, feel me. And see, for a spirit had not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So he has flesh and bones, but not blood, because blood is the life of the natural body. But he's got a spiritual body. So it can disappear, it can fly, he can walk through walls, he eats, just like anybody else can eat, you know, but still is a flesh and bone body and not a flesh and blood and bone body. All right? His body is, I'm going to confirm it just a moment. His body is flesh, but it's not natural flesh. It's spiritual flesh. It's spiritual bones. Why? It's a resurrected body. You see? And the life of my body and your body is blood. So there's no blood in his body. Matter of fact, the life of the body, of our body, is the blood. That's why if a person gets cut, if they get the bleeding, they'll bleed out, quote unquote, and then the spirit leaves the body, because without the blood, the body can't live. The body dies, which is why when people have lost a lot of blood, they give them transfusions, they put more blood in to keep the person alive, to revive them if they've gotten weak, you know. But his body is flesh and bone. Looks like ours, feels like ours, but no blood in it. But it's a resurrected body. Now go to 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll qualify that now because my time is getting away. But we had to slow down because I went too fast the last few weeks. And so it's a good thing we did. Praise the Lord. I want to get down to what Paul is talking about, these two bodies. I read this last week when Terrell asked me that question that he was prompted to ask me, that made me go back and slow down more and go back to the beginning to look at the resurrected body. It's like the angel's body. But notice with a resurrected body, we can eat like Jesus did. Fly, go through walls, appear, disappear. Let's see, it's going down and we start talking about the resurrection. But some men say, verse 35. Alicia, let me get you to start there, please. Verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15.
But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?
So that's what we're talking about now.
Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die.
That word quickened means made alive, okay?
And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body.
All right, keep reading.
All flesh is not the same flesh.
Stop right there. He's about to explain what Jesus said over there. Help me. I got a flesh and bone body. It's flesh, but it ain't the flesh like we got. Okay, keep reading.
But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial.
Let's stop right there for a moment. Celestial bodies or heavenly bodies. Okay, keep reading.
But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another.
Keep reading.
There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption.
Okay, even though he's got a flesh and bone body, it's an incorruptible body. Our bodies are corruptible. In the sense of corruption being, it is sown in corruption, is sown in decay or ruin. Okay? But it is raised in incorruption, incorruptibility, immortality. It is raised in immortality. It can't die. All right, keep reading.
It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory.
Stop right there. That's where the phrase glorified body is one of the phrases, or probably the main phrase where the glorified body comes from. It's a body of glory. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. Keep reading.
It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body.
Stop right there. The lights went on in. Came on in for sure. It is sown a natural body. As I was saying when I first started this class tonight, we're going to say it like the word says, as opposed to saying regular humans, like I've been saying, to try to explain how we are now. We are human with natural bodies. I got that from the word right there. Natural bodies. Word natural being... That says it's enough said for about itself. All right, so it's sown a natural body, but it's raised what?
Spiritual body.
Now we can look at that word spiritual later on to take it apart, but we know he's not talking about a spirit like a spirit you can't see, because he said a spirit don't have flesh and bone. Hell me. So it's a spirit body. It looks like this body, feels like this body, in a sense of feeling. It's got bone, it's got flesh, but it's a spiritual flesh. Because it can I can step through this podium with that spiritual body or walk out that wall. But if I try that with this body, it won't work. Enough said. I ain't going no further. That ain't funny, Aubrey. So, we're gonna define it. We're gonna define it later. But I want to do it now because my time is gone. But that may be. I think that's one of the words. But I wanna. And supernatural is in that definition. Yeah, you're right. We can use that. That's when we define the word spiritual. It means supernatural. But it's a supernatural flesh. That's the point I'm trying to get at. Yeah, you can feel it, like he said. You can feel it. But it's not a physical substance, but it's a supernatural substance or a spiritual substance. See, God has that kind of a body. See, he got clothes on. He's not a spirit where you're just kind of drifting up there and wafting around the throne. He ain't like that. He's sitting on the throne. He got clothes on. He got a train, you see. I'm just trying to keep it real, you see. But the thing is that this is the scriptures that tells us how our body is. And we know from what Jesus said, folk with this body got bodies like the angels. They don't marry, nor they give it in marriage. And the angels, we know, as I said earlier, they had sex with the women over there in Genesis 6. But them angels, they reserve in hell now because they went after strange flesh. Because their flesh and human's flesh, different flesh. God has rules about who comes together and what flesh comes with that flesh. Humans shouldn't be messing around with nobody's flesh but their own kind of flesh, natural bodies. Natural body humans mate with natural body humans, that's it. And it's not even given to people with supernatural bodies to marry or give in marriage. And I don't think they can have babies. But just so happens, since natural humans can have babies and the angels are got supernatural bodies, then the women bore children. But the body came from the woman, just as Jesus' body came from Mary. But in God's case, his word, which is... Jesus being the word, his word, which is life, it actually fertilized the egg in her womb, and that holy thing conceived in her womb is the Son of God, by virtue of her receiving his word. Let it be unto me as you said, she told the angel. So she received the word of God, received the seed of God, the Holy Ghost enveloped in a haze of brilliance, and that's when the word became flesh. And she conceived Jesus. You see, and so these are the scriptures that show the kind of bodies that we will have. We will have. Now let's go a little further, and then we're going to go home, because Terrell asked a very important question, and since in verse 1 through 15, I want to get down there to that part. Earth, heaven, land, and so on, and so forth. Behold, I show 51. Terrell, you got a mic? Read starting with verse 51.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Stop right there. We're going to read. Going to read. Keep reading. One more verse.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed.
And we shall be changed. But verse 51 says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all, somebody say all. Every last Christian is going to be changed. I've been quoting that for the last 2 weeks, but this is the first time I had you read it. See, that's my part. That's my part. See, we all shall, I can't help it today. I just grab my, see it happen. But we all shall be changed. But remember, we read in we'll go to 1 Thessalonians 4, because Terrell asked me the question, am I saying that 1 Thessalonians 4 is the same as 1 Corinthians 15? I said yes. So this is what we're establishing this week. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to read this, and then we're going to go. Because you'll see the tie that I saw, because I was like you guys. I had to know When is the rapture happening? And it was all hinged on who can have babies, babies in a thousand-year reign, who can't have babies. Once I got that settled, I saw the line then. You see? Because the changed folk can't have no babies. Ain't that right? See, their bodies ain't designed like that. 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's move on down to where he's talking about start being changed. However you words that thing. I know 13 is where he starts out at. Yeah, but I don't want to go that back that far up. Bring with him verse 14. Verse 15. Start there, Terrell. 1 Thessalonians 4. We're almost done.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Which means go before them. In other words, our bodies won't be changed first. Okay, keep reading.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God.
Notice the word trump shows up here like it showed up in 1 Corinthians 15. Notice that, all right? Keep reading.
And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Okay, so they got them supernatural bodies. All right? Verse 17.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 said all will be changed. You see the same thing here. The ones that are dead, their bodies rose first. They were changed. Then, verse 17, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, yada, 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 yada. And so, and then the word trump. The trump that was in 1 Corinthians 15, you got the trump here. And so knowing that people with supernatural bodies can't have babies, and knowing that in the tribulation, in the thousand-year reign from here to eternity, babies are being born. If all are changed, we just read that, 1 Corinthians 15, if all are changed, they ain't over here. Because when Jesus came here, got back with us, or with the saints, he sent the sinners to hell, and the saints that came back with him, we know they got them supernatural bodies, but the ones that were saved in the tribulation period, that came out of the tribulation, their bodies didn't change. They just went in a thousand-year reign and had babies. Kept on having babies. They might have had one baby over here. You know, and then had two babies over here. And they born sinners. Why? Because everybody get born with that seed until they get believe on Jesus. Hence, we got sinners during the thousand-year reign and babies being born and died at 100 years old. But over here, eternity, no death and no sinners, but babies have still been born. No, it's easy though, because the people that were natural bodies here, God didn't change their body when they went into eternity. What he did was he cleaned the earth up, he sent the sinners to hell, we read that, and that was it. They just went from thousand-year reign right into eternity, the same natural body. But we can look at that next week though. We can look at that again. But we read that in Revelation 21. Huh?
If they were still having babies in eternity?
Yeah, because the Bible says that. We'll look at that again. Because, matter of fact, the scripture says the trees that leaf, the trees on that leaf, the leaf on the trees. Boy, I tell you what, little David, slow goes too fast, your mouth get all twisted up. For the healing, well, if we all got them supernatural bodies, who's being healed? All right, so that means there's natural bodies over there then. No, because there's no more death. Death went to hell. Death got put in hell in Revelation 20. So every baby been born after that, eternity, they've been born just like Adam and Eve would have had babies, and they'd have been born with God's nature until before Adam messed up. See, when everybody is born with death in the body until death. Death here in Revelation 20, verse 15, the last verse, death and hell got cast in the fire, which means ain't no more death. Ain't no more sinners. You see. All right. But there again, the main thing is I wanted you to see that these two sets of scriptures, well, the main thing is the bodies, because we didn't talk about the bodies, you see. But true, you know what I thought?
So where does the 1,000-year reign take place? Where exactly is the reign at, for lack of better?
You mean scripture? Physically on the planet?
Where are we reigning for 1,000 years?
On the earth.
Okay, so then if we're reigning 1,000 years on the earth, in light of 1 Thessalonians 4, what we just read, and 1 Corinthians 15, the latter verse, where is the going away?
Oh, that's over here at the beginning. See, that's the point that locks in the fact the rapture, the catching up of all the Christians that have changed, the ones that came back, and the ones that were here that got changed, they went up before the tribulation period.
Right. Up to where?
Up to heaven.
Okay. Where is that?
That's...
Where is that? Where is...
I ain't got no map, man.
No, no, I'm not saying. I'm saying where in scripture is that?
Well, we have to look at that. Because I got scripture that talks about him coming back from heaven, yada, yada, yada.
The reason why I say that, because both 1 Thessalonians 4 and... First Thessalonians 4 says we're caught up to meet him.
Yeah, in the air.
In the clouds.
Yeah.
Doesn't say we go anywhere.
But we see there again, there's a scripture I'm going to get to you on that. I got part of it here. Matter of fact, I'll just give you a copy. And I'll email it to you. And I have a mental email to everybody else. But this parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins, that parable and the culture of what they do when a person gets married. That parable, that's all talking about the rapture, going to the Father's house and coming back and yada, yada. All that's in there. And that parable, the people that know that parable understand what the rapture is and the second coming is all about. But see, we didn't get there because I didn't take you there. But we'll start there next week. We'll start with that parable. And then from that parable, we can answer those questions you're talking about, because the answer is in that parable. That's Matthew 20, what is that?
25.
I think it's the first part of Matthew 25. But it's a parable of the 10 virgins. We had an outline on that. When was that outline done?
This was 2010.
What month?
May.
May. So that's been 9 years ago we had that outline. We hadn't had it since. That's my last outline on the 10 virgins. So I have an email to you all tonight. Matter of fact, I think I'll go through it again first to see if I need to add anything to it and tweak it a little bit. Because since then, that's 9 years, I've learned a few things. Maybe I can make some more things plain to add something to it. And in this case, since we're not going to go through it up here, unless we have to, then if it's 6 pages, it won't make no difference. Because that right there is how many pages, Dr. Hill? How many pages is that? Already.
This is 3.
I ain't done no 8 pages. I did a 7 time or two.
This is just 3.
Just 3. Well, see, I got room to work. So I'll go back on it. I promise y'all, because I got my outline done for this week on us and the other folks. I'm outline free this week. I mailed them all last night and emailed them all last night. So I can study now some more on some other stuff. I'll get that tweet. And then I'll have her send it to you as soon as possible. But that's... Because Dewey mentioned it last week, was the week before last, she mentioned the parable of the 10 virgins. Week before. That he mentioned the parable of the 10 virgins explains the rapture and the second coming. You see. But there again, we have to know their culture about that in order to see the parallel. And that's what Dave and the rest of y'all are talking about. So we'll, and really, when I think about it, I should have started there with that parable. I mean, because it's talking about the rapture. Yeah. Well, but the main thing tonight was, I didn't take that long, but it took us that long to get the body nailed down. You see.